Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine adversary, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind. I'm going to climb out of the distant hole, a cavern that has no service, no system, no soul. It's the essence of all things that brook, that build, that climb out of the misty, low-riding, I don't know what kind of word I want to put on it, but that kind of thing where it's like, you know, where all the swamp gas comes out and goes blub, 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 blub. There are things coming out of that. There is that miasma, because I like that word, miasma of all sorts of cool things, evil things, good things, darkness and shadows, brightness and rainbows, and all that other quirky kind of kawugga wugga lumma goos. It is the beginning of a new year. We have the opportunities here to hop up everything, ourselves, the people around us, the world around us, inside of ourselves, all of these things. And I don't know what the heck's going on. Oh, okay. All of these things are going to be an amazing experience for this year because I said it right now, right here, right now, right here. I'll say that twice so that's even more emphasis because I like to reinforce what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is actually a feeling of belief in the consistency of absolute positivity in existence. We can change the world by choosing to make the change a positive environment, by taking the darkness out of our souls and throwing it under our boot heels and go squish, and taking that squish and making little mini Groots out of them and saying, ah, we are Groot. And then, you know, it's like this whole wide world is going to bust its caps open, because I like to screw around with euphemisms and memes, because what the hell's the point of screwing around with euphemisms and memes if you can't have fun screwing around with euphemisms and memes? And even if you can keep saying euphemisms and memes, and how many times can you say it? Come on, guys, say it all now. Euphemisms and memes. Euphemisms and memes. Euphemisms and memes. Rah, 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 rah. I don't know, I think there's something, okay, something bumping. Who's beating needles? Then I'm skipping? I don't know. I'm going to say this, though. I think, I don't know who this Kanye West fellow is, but he sure is going to make some good noise. Maybe, I don't know if it's good or not, but he is going to be making some noise with this old Paul McCartney tune. Hey, EW, how's it going?
Paul McCartney?
Well, whatever.
Okay.
I don't know who he is.
Actually, you do know who he is. Do you remember the big controversy about the Grammy Award that he snagged it out of the girl's hand or the mic? He just runs up and takes the mic and starts saying somebody else should have won it?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Do I remember the time when he said he should have, what did it, he smacked Beyonce?
He did?
Something like that. Didn't he, wasn't he smuggling drugs with Beyonce or something like that?
Oh, good Lord, I'm really out of all this.
This was a while ago, man. It's a long time ago.
Are you sure it wasn't Whitney Houston?
Okay, maybe it was Whitney. You think I keep track of who these people go and hook up with and don't hook up with and, like, decide, oh, I'm going to smack that one up, or I'm not going to smack that one up, or I'm going to put a carpet on that one, or I'm going to give him a squirrel. I don't know what that means, but, you know?
Squirrel.
Exactly. So, it's a new year, man. Yeah, new freaking years, 2015. I have been on this earth way too long now.
It's been a lot of years, yeah.
You know, it's just really freaky-deaky thinking about this stuff sometimes. It's like, how long have I been here? How long have I done this? I've done the show now for, what, almost 3 years now. This is like,
gosh, has it really been that long?
Yep, in a couple of months, April 1st, it'll be 3 years.
Wow.
We are at episode number 136. That's a lot of episodes for me spilling out my brains in the airwaves here and go blah, 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 blah.
Wonder how many years it takes to hit 200.
200?
200 episodes.
The end of this year will be 200.
Wow.
52 weeks.
Wow.
Think about it. The only weeks that I didn't do an actual show probably was New Year's and Christmas. And that's just because both of the goddamn darn days landed on Wednesday nights.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
Yes, so next year, that won't be the case. That will be the day before.
Wait, next year?
This year. 2015, the end of 2015. We'll have.
Okay, you're confusing me on my ears now.
Hey, man. The next year after that will be the Fridays.
There you go.
Or whatever. Yes, no, that's the way it is. Slides that way. But I don't really care about all that crap. Because you know what I care about right now? I am going to care about this particular show is going to be dedicated to one concept in general, specifically.
Agent Carter?
No. About the new year. About the things that are going to happen this new year. I'm going to give you some predictions here.
Agent Carter's about the new year.
Agent Carter is starting in the new year. She has already started as a TV show. She's hot. I like her. She looks snazzy. She's got Dum Dum Dugan and the Howling Commandos. I'm excited about that. They released the initial trailer for Ant-Man, which I was not really super jazzed about.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Which trailer are we referring to? The ant-sized one or...
The full trailer.
What'd you think about the ant-sized one?
Didn't see the ant-sized one. I only saw the full trailer. I did not see the teaser.
The ant-sized teaser? Seriously? They put it up? Okay, you know how you have the nice big screen, how they do the trailer on there. And this thing is so zoomed out, so far away. All you can see is this little square, and it's just quick flashing. And it was a real, it really played something, but you had to wait until they released the full size, the adult size teaser.
Okay, right off the bat, I don't know if I like it. They have switched the story up so much, it's like, it better be a darn good movie, otherwise I'm going to hate it.
But then again, you know, they might be doing this to, and this is a good play that Marvel's played in the past, to make people teeter-totter and decide by seeing it.
Nope.
Okay.
I don't like it. However, I have been told that this particular storyline is part of the current Marvel continuity for Ant-Man. That Ant-Man is actually the guy that they've got being Ant-Man, and that Hank Pym is actually Yellowjacket.
Now, I will say, I did kind of like one scene in the trailer where you see...
You think it's too late to change the name?
Oh, no, that was hilarious, too. He rides the ant?
Yes. Well, that's part of the original stories.
Well, that was pretty cool. They really did a good job on that by
that
what I
That looked neat, yes.
That. Yeah, but the rest of it just... And then really, Michael Douglas? Nah.
yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Is he's Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Now, and I alluded to something pre-show before we were talking about how I don't. What was I alluding to? What was I saying? That you're not going to like. Oh yes. You're mentioning about Jarvis and Agent Carter, and that's cool. But here's what's really going to be pissing me off because I heard something recently about the Avengers movie coming out.
Uh oh.
Ultron is a messed up Jarvis.
Right, well, we knew that. That's where it started.
Yeah, well, you see, I wasn't too sure about that before, and now I've been hearing more about it, and it's like, no, that's retarded.
No, because...
Ooh, it's the alien technology messed up with Jarvis. Ooh.
Well, no, that was... And we know that, you know, per the way it originally started, yeah, that's where he got his original voice from, but the later he becomes the voice, and we know that the voice of Ultron is not the same guy who does Jarvis. It's,
No, but that's what they're saying. Ultron is a version of Jarvis. Yes.
They're saying
that the origin of Ultron in the Avengers 2 movie is going to be that Ultron is a variation of Jarvis that got messed up when they were farting around with alien technology.
No, I'm hoping it's somebody just misunderstood or just drew their own conclusion. There's just no way. That just wouldn't fit.
Well, if you take a different step... Yes, it does, but I don't like the different step. I don't like that. I'm not liking it. However, it's really going to piss me off if that's the way. And then this is why I'm not really crazy about the Ant-Man movie. So then I wanted to see Ant-Man.
Jarvis dies away?
Well, Jarvis...
Is this their version of killing off Jarvis?
No, it's just that it's another version. I mean, Jarvis is a computer program as far as Iron Man's concerned, so he can replicate.
Yeah, I don't know. After Agent of Carter, I think they're going to introduce where Jarvis actually is.
Regardless, I'm sure he's dead by the time Tony Stark has turned him into his auto butler.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm sure he's probably dead by that point, but there
probably
must be
buried some... even.
I think what they're going to do, this is my guess, okay? Without spoiling anything, this is just my guess because it has nothing to do with what you've seen, what anyone's seen so far, so no need to say spoiler alert, but I think what you're going to see is like when Stark's father is no longer, you know, he's either passed away or whatever happens to him, I forget, that Jarvis is like the...
father figure?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the butler's name for Batman again, I forget his name.
Alfred?
Alfred, he's going to technically
Pennywise.
So he's going to technically become the Alfred of Tony Stark for some point where it makes so much of an impression that Tony decides to make him live on into the Jarvis program. That's what I'm thinking because it's the same guy who does the voice, so it just only would make sense that that's might be where they're going to lead up to.
Yeah, and that's very possible. But the point I'm getting to is that they're changing the storyline as to where Ultron is arrived from. Ultron is originally created by Hank Pym, who is working on the whole concept of AI, robots, etc. Comes up with the whole create ideas like, hey, wouldn't it be great if I could create a robot that could actually, an intelligence that could actually start creating its own elements to it that would start replicating its own needs and start learning and expanding beyond the capacity of normal human thought. And then, boom, Ultron's created and realizes within a few minutes, hey, humanity's a disease. Kill it.
So they just screwed up.
Well, they've taken it a completely different way.
So if that's the way they're going, we're going to see in Ant-Man the origin story in a sense of...
We're not. That's what I'm saying. Well, Ant-Man the movie is not going to have anything to do with Ultron.
Mm.
And that's kind of my point is going. This is why Ant-Man was originally supposed to have been released before the first Avengers movie.
Right.
But they... so many different problems, directors, writers, storyline, and it was going to be a comedy, and this one is supposed to be sort of a half-comedy, half-serious movie coming out. It's like, I might enjoy it. I mean, I like a lot of quirky movies, and I've had a lot of confidence and faith in Marvel's movie-making stuff, but it kind of comes across to me as like, yeah, we want to do something different. It's like, okay, I'm glad you did it with a character I wasn't really all that jazzed about so that I can't go and say bad things about you a lot.
Well,
if
no,
it fails, that is.
I'm right there with you. You know, it'd be easy to do that. But, you know, if for any kind of comedy, I don't know. The only comedical line in there was, is it too late to change the name?
As far as the trailer is concerned, yes. But Ant-Man in the comic books was always, well, he's both... the most comedic part of the Avengers and the most, oh my god, serious real world shit. You know? I mean, in the Ant-Man story, in the original comic books, Ant-Man is the one that Captain America beats the snot out of because Ant-Man beat the crap out of his wife. There was a whole storyline about that in the comic books.
That's why he's in jail, that's right.
That's why he was in jail, yes.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's like, okay, you've got the most serious storyline that you could ever put in a Marvel comic book right there. And at the same time, he's also one of the funniest characters in the series because, dude, he's an ant.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe it's just really bad trailer this time. I don't know. I mean, from what I saw trailer-wise, that could have worked if it had a lot more...
I saw a comment that made me think, oh, shit, yeah. Doesn't this strike you a little bit like Amazing Spider-Man? Sorry, Spider-Man 2 or whatever?
Yeah, it is.
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2. It's like, not quite there, not quite not there, kind of what's missing, kind of what's there. It's like,
This is going origin story again as well, right? And the number one thing...
semi-origins.
The number one thing they said they want to start avoiding...
Not doing origin stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're going there again.
Well, if you're going to just not do origin stories and you're going to just do, hey, look, there's Ant-Man, half the populace who would actually possibly watch the movie are going to be, what?
How did he do that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, where'd this guy come from? Why can he shrink to an ant? Why does he jump on? And what flying ants do you know of that fly around? And they only fly around at certain times of the year, right?
Exactly.
So, kind of thing. I don't know. It's one of those quirky little things. It's like, it could be a great movie. Guardians of the Galaxy got so much, oh, it's not going to be great because it's like, who knows who they are? Granted.
Well,
movie comes out. Everybody loves it. It's like, now do you know who they are?
Yeah. It really did. I mean, well, I was going to watch it just because it was Zoe Saldana, but I mean, it really turned out to be better. Even the previews had some, you know, quirkiness to it, but there were some scenes that you were just like, oh, I got to see this.
There was also a lot of reticence about it, though, too. It's like, well, I don't know who these guys are. I don't know what the characters are. How am I supposed to feel any kind of identification with them if I don't know anything about it?
What are you going to do? You're going to take somebody, and no offense to these guys, because I know I've heard great things about Stallone, but what are you going to do? Take characters like Stallone and Schwarzenegger and say, here, there's your superheroes you constantly know, and we're going to put them in here. And all I would eventually see is somewhere down the line, they're with a walker and a cape and saying, okay, we're going to shave today.
Yeah, but, yeah, well, yeah, no, I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking about the characters. Who knows
before the movies
came out, who knew really a lot of... Most of the people watching the movie didn't know who the characters were. And they still don't.
Right.
Okay, and they don't know that that's actually a more modern version of the team from the older classic Guardians of the Galaxy, which have characters that I really like and wanted to see more. When I heard they were doing Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah! It was like, who?
Yeah.
And I was like...
And what was it I was saying? I think, sometime last year, I will say it that way, that they were talking about the next Guardians might not be the same cast.
Yeah, that wouldn't be cool. Because they were a good group. I liked them.
But if, you know, because we know that the Guardians was so big, we know that Avengers was so big. So, I mean, eventually they could still do another. I mean, well, so they knock out these three with these Avengers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with
still create a new Avengers movie, yeah. The next group of Avengers, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you got to look at it, you're talking about creating a movie franchises that exist over long periods of time. If the stories are done right, it doesn't matter who's playing the character. It's the right. Character is being... recreated for whatever. I mean, I have no issues with, oh, and what's-his-face was Spider-Man, and now somebody else is Spider-Man, and now, you know what? Now somebody else is Spider-Man, too. As long as they're doing a good story. They've been doing a lot of crappy stories for Spider-Man, but you know what I'm saying. Guardians of the Galaxy, if they have the same kind of meshing character group, cool. But I think what happens is that they hit the right mix of people who were the right mix of those characters.
Well, and I mean, I agree.
And if
with
those
you.
People who did that movie don't want to do it again, they are dumb.
Anyone who gets listed in any of these kind of movies right now don't want to do it. They do need to be smacked in the back of the head because, shoot. I don't care if I'm an extra or even one of the guards who gets to constantly be a guard. I would mind, you know?
Exactly.
Make me the guard that gets slapped around. I don't care.
Exactly. Why? Because this shit's fun.
Exactly.
And on top of that, these guys have all, hey, look, we didn't get paid a lot for this movie, but wait, we're going to do another one? You're going to give us lots of money? Yes? Okay.
Yeah. Here's my signature. Let's go.
Give me some money. Yes, I'm good with that. So yes, I'm a little. I don't know what's going on with the Avengers, but I know it's Whedon, and I know he'll do a good job, and I know it'll be a fun movie. The Ant-Man movie. Yeah, I have reservations, so I don't know. Have to really see what happens.
Now, I did see over the break that we have new talks of new movies coming out. But one caught my attention, and I had to bring this up.
Jupiter Rising?
No.
Sorry, Jupiter Ascendant.
No, I
don't. I like the look of that one.
I wasn't even going to touch that one yet.
Kingsman.
No.
I like the look of that one, too.
Doctor Strange.
Well, they didn't just announce that through the break. They announced that before the break.
No, they announced it with Cumberbatch. Yeah, but now they're announcing it with somebody else.
And we're still not sure who's going to be him.
Exactly. And so it's like, what's the deal? Because the Cumberbatch one would have been...
Cumberbatch would have been good.
Everybody was going for that.
Yep.
And he'd still be great for it. But there's never been any article since then to say, no, he's not in it.
But that could also be a competing for time or whatever. He may be involved with a whole bunch. Because he is involved with a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
I mean, he's got that Sherlock show. He's got some other stuff on his plate as well. So, I mean, he's a busy feller.
I think BBC said they would be willing to put the Sherlock show on hold. I mean, because it's only like 3 episodes a season anyways. So, I mean, they could put that on hold and let him do, Doctor Strange and come back. And actually, that would be BBC would be really smart for doing that, because not only does it just, create popularity for Cumberbatch, but it also boosts their show, because, hey, I want to go still see him again, and here he is in Sherlock, and, you know.
Sure, but I don't think so.
It's kind of like watching him in Star Trek, you know, it's just, you see him, and then you're like, oh my god, this is the same person? Wow, you know?
Nah, I don't think so, no.
Well, Star Trek doesn't do the popularity as much as you would think, but...
Wait a sec, Cumberbatch was in Star Trek?
Yeah, he played Khan in the second one.
Khan! Yes, I know, I was being facetious.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but...
Okay, speaking of spoiler alerts, I'm going to leave it until after the break.
Oh!
So, I didn't watch much in the way of movies this last couple of weeks. But I did watch a bunch of TV shows.
You did?
Watched all of season 1 of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay. What'd you think about it?
I liked it. The one thing, though, that I noticed most about that show...
Oh, what's that?
A lot of people cry.
Yeah.
Every episode, somebody's got freaking waterworks going on. The kid cries. The guys cry. The chicks cry. It's like, okay, a lot of crying.
Well, second season was...
I got second season to watch, too, so I'm going to watch that over next little while.
I haven't watched any of the third season, which is all about Frozen or something like that.
It's all about the beard. The beard. No now, stubble.
It's funny you mention that, though, because I did read an article that the next season is bringing in 3 of the most wicked people you could think of.
Uh-huh. I don't think they can bring in the 3 most wicked people I can think of.
Okay, maybe not what you can think of, but one of them is Maleficent.
Maleficent was already brought into it. She's in season 1.
Yeah, but they're bringing her in as a full-fledged character for the next season.
Okay, that's fine. She isn't one of the most wicked people I would ever have thought of.
Yeah. I would, I don't know. I mean, depending on, because they're going to go away from what the movie did, but...
I heard that they had a movie, too. No. Didn't know that until I looked them up on IMDb. I said, I like this girl. What's she do? It's like, wait a sec, there's a movie, too?
There's a movie on Once Upon a Time?
Yeah. They had having come out a movie, Once Upon a Time movie.
I did not know this.
Oh, you pissed off Jack. You gave him a spoiler alert.
Yeah, I told him who Khan was in Star Trek.
No, wait. Con he or con he not? Moving along. So yes, Once Upon a Time. I thought it was a good show. And I really, one of the things I kind of really liked about it is the fact that it's a female perspective show. It's not actually all about guy versus guy. It's mostly actually about girl versus girl.
Yeah, it really was. And then the main character that they use, I think she did a really good job as far as trying to keep some sanity within the realm of magic. There's no such thing,
Yeah. No, I totally, most of the characters I bought, and for the longest time I'm thinking, wait a sec, is the Evil Queen really aware or not? Is she aware or not? Is she aware or not? No, she's totally aware. She knows the shit that's going on. She did it. She knows what the deal is. Nobody else does. Love the girl playing Snow White, though.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh.
Completely capable of doing, hey, I'm Snow White, da-da-da, and I'm a teacher. Weak and mild.
Rumpelstiltskin is my favorite.
He was good, too. But I really did like the girl who played Snow White more.
He gets pretty vicious later on.
Well, I would hope so. Because with magic, there's always a price!
I can't remember. Did they introduce Hook in the first season?
No, they did not.
Okay, so then I won't say anything.
I know he's introduced in the second season, so.
Yeah. He's an awesome character, too.
Yeah, and I really liked the eight dwarves. Yeah. Stealthy! I really miss Stealthy. And I really liked Grumpy originally being Dreamy. It's like, yeah. What? So, I mean, this is awesome. But getting back to the strong female character thing, because that was the whole gender roles and thing is a question mark I keep coming across nowadays, and it's like I enjoy talking about that. Because, and I'm also going on with what Jack just said in the chat room there, too. Captain Marvel.
Oh, no.
Ha ha! Took you on a left turn.
You saw that last episode, didn't you?
Last episode of what?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, I have not. Don't say Jack about it, and don't say Keenan about it either.
How many weeks have gone by and you have not watched that last episode?
Well, what do you mean, the final episode of the season mid?
Yeah, mid-season.
No, that I watched.
Okay.
Now, do you know what that was about? Because I do.
Well, this is her kind of rebirth, in a sense.
No. Okay. The stone is Terrigenesis.
Okay.
They're Inhumans. The Kree seeded the planet Earth with the Inhumans.
So this is the Inhuman introduction?
Yes. The whole Terrigenesis things is about genetic expansion of your potential, and everybody gets it, and everybody changes differently. That's why Reyna has changed one way and Sky has changed another way, but they haven't shown you it in that episode.
And of course they just totally kill off
what's his face.
Yeah, thank you. I don't feel bad.
I can't remember his name either, so it's whatever. But yeah,
add too, because why is Reyna so special? And
well, she's cuter.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, they gotta have. Well, I mean, I'm not complaining, because they do have a strong woman lead in there too, between her and
Sky.
No, that's not who I was thinking.
May.
Yeah, May. Thank you.
Cavalry May, and what's her face? Hunter's girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Introducing her was an awesome deal.
I like her.
Yes, I do too.
She's a good, strong character. It's like, wait a second, is she playing both sides of this game here, or what?
Do you think this is Marvel's way of kind of poking DC and saying, haha, we can do the male or female character leads and you can't?
Not for the TV show. I am so going to look forward to when they release Captain Marvel. Ms. Danvers, that is. That Captain Marvel movie is going to be the kind of thing that's going to be saying, you know what, DC? Screw you. You guys can't get your shit together. Because that's the thing. It's the one. And by the way, I'm going to go back to the Wonder Woman thing now. The Wonder Woman movie should have been out already.
Oh, big time.
I mean, it has been talked about for 10 freaking years. They've had scripts. They've had directors. They've had producers. They've had writers. They had Joss Whedon at one point as the director for the damn movie.
The best one they could have done for.
And then what did he do? He goes and does The Avengers.
I don't
blame. Surprise. So, the thing is, that really bugs me, is that DC can't get their crap together enough to be able to put together a Wonder Woman movie. It shouldn't be that hard. You get a half-decent story. It's like, oh, look, she comes from Amazonia, the island, and blah, and stuff, and whatever. It should be fairly simple. There you can get a whole crapload of women who can pull that role off. It's just they don't believe in it. That's all it is that DC themselves do not believe in the possibility of making any kind of money on a female-fronted movie.
So let's this is DC's mentality. Let's introduce women as an anorexic short person.
Which I don't have a problem with Wonder Woman being an anorexic short Israeli lady. That really doesn't bother me in the least. Because if the character... The whole character about Wonder Woman is not necessarily about the size. It's about what the person does.
No, wait. No, you cannot call her an Amazonian queen and she's short. Because
Amazon... What if all the rest of the Amazons were shorter than she was?
Yeah, see? So what are you telling me? The rest of them are midgets?
Possibly.
That's not right.
Who knows? Did you ever... Okay, I dare you someday to go and find a Roman sword. Like an actual antique Roman sword.
Okay.
You will not be able to hold it in your hands.
It's huge.
Too small.
Yeah.
No, your hand would be too big.
No.
Yes. A Roman sword. I have one. I actually have one. I can't grasp it properly.
No, it's got to be a dagger. There's just no way that's a sword.
No, it's a short sword. It's it's called the Gladius. It's about, how long is this? It's about 2 feet long, the blade. Okay? But the handle, the hilt, from the hilt to the pommel, is, I have a good width of hand. If I grip on that handle, it's going to hurt my hand because it's rubbing into against the hilt.
Hmm.
You got to remember, people in North America today, they're bigger than they used to be. In the European times, all the old Roman times or whatever, people were smaller. So, 6 foot is huge compared to the way people used to be in the old days. Now,
so you mean we're giants?
We are giants.
Well, more like me, you know, being 6 foot two.
Yes, exactly. But,
Shazam. Wait.
They're going to do a Shazam movie. The guys were talking in the chat room there. They're going to do a Shazam movie. They've already cast The Rock as Black Adam. He's the bad guy.
That's right.
Yeah. But this is the thing. It boggles my mind as to why DC can't or won't, rather, won't put out the Wonder Woman movie. They're going to play with this whole Batman versus Superman thing. Oh, by the way, Wonder Woman. Oh, by the way, Aquaman. Oh, by the way, blah, 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 blah. All these other people. It's like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's just bugging my brain, man. Brain is being bugged. I may unleash the apocalypse just because of that. If they don't put out a good Wonder Woman movie, I will unleash the apocalypse.
They're not going to put out a good Wonder Woman movie.
Gosh darn it, I'm going to have to put out the apocalypse.
The only way they're going to put out a good Wonder Woman movie if they got the right people to pull it together
It happen. Not the right people. The right person. One person.
Well, no, that's not true, because they had Josh Whedon. He could have helped.
One person. Josh Whedon had the vision. He took it and made it happen. He employed a whole bunch of people to take his vision forward. This is how Lord of the Rings got done. Peter Jackson, his vision, took it forward. Everybody else part of that team, they believed in it, they're all part of that project, they're all going to do their best to it, but it only happened because Peter Jackson put his name on it. It's the Joss Whedon Avengers only happened because Joss Whedon put his name on it and had the backing of his personal, his name. Everything behind him was like, yeah, it's going to be a good movie. You trust me, we'll do it and we'll be a good movie. That's how that movie got done. And those are the only good Hollywood movies, is when one person, the director, the producer, the writer, somebody, takes that vision and makes it happen. Every other Hollywood movie I've ever seen, of the modern, call it the modern generation instead of the last 20 years, if it was a really good movie, it was only a good movie because somebody, as part of that process, took it upon themselves to make that stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Aliens, Ridley Scott, Star Wars, Star Trek, they only were good movies because the guy who was running it was passionately interested in getting it done. Most of the other Hollywood movies that they put out are like, what the hell is this pablum? This is crap. And the only other good movies to see after that are the indie stuff, the foreign stuff, the stuff that's being done by people who actually just care about what they're doing, and that is a group of people who are collectively trying to get towards the same objective. But still, generally driven by one person's passion to get that done. That's my personal opinion.
Right.
And I'm going to stick with it. And I don't care what anybody says. It's my freaking opinion! And I'm going to not put the B word in there. But at that point, I think we're going to put the other B word in and like go to intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So that I can drink some cola too.
Ah.
Zombies! Ah! That's one of the reasons why I like that song so much, because it rhymes with my pseudonym.
I knew it. I knew.
Yep. So, We're going to continue with a bit of the discussion about female representation in modern presentations of movies and stuff. Hobbits is 3.
I have not seen it yet.
The Five Armies.
I have not seen it yet.
I have seen this movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little...
disappointed?
Yeah.
Good, because that is the number one report I've heard and the reason I have not gone to the theater to watch it.
I'm a little disappointed on two fronts. One, Toriel / Legolas.
Right.
So...
Legolas.
Huh?
Legolas.
Legolas.
No, Legolas.
Sure. He's got legs, though.
He doesn't have Legos.
Yes, he has Legos. He probably has a bunch of Legos. Probably a lot of them LOTR Legos, too. So, here's the thing. Legolas is not in the original Hobbit story at all, period, end of the Ballywick.
Right.
So, what I didn't like about the Hobbits' movie, the third one, is that, basically speaking, what they did is they stripped Toriel, who is Evangeline Lilly's character, and split it up between her and Legolas. So all of the really good stuff that Toriel should have done, no, they couldn't have a woman do it, so let's have Legolas do it. Huh. Huh.
Interesting.
So, without giving out too much information, there's a specific scene that's the one that really bugs the crap out of me. It's actually two scenes that really bug the crap out of me. Well, three. So she's fighting something, and she doesn't end up killing it. Somebody else does. But she has to be saved.
Right.
That's not how the story goes. She kills him. That's what it should be. And it just really struck me in the face as being, wow, this is really very... what's the word I want to use here? Not the way that should go in the story. I mean, they should be showing a much stronger... Like, the character Toriel is a really strong character, but they make her look like a wimp. You know what I mean? And it just kills me. It's like, what the hell? What were you guys thinking about? This is supposed to be a movie about making strong people, strong characters. You've got the whole idea of the Hobbit going through his path and journey of, hey, look, I'm just a happy-go-lucky Hobbit guy. And, oh, look, I can actually bring the whole five armies to their knees by just making a choice. Like, what? That's one of those really big picture things, like little guy, big picture, big picture, but simple consequence of choice, you know? And they do a little bit of that really comes out well. The guy playing the Hobbit, he's awesome. Like, his whole story flow through the movie in this one is like, ooh, do I not? Oh, I do? I did? I will? Oh, okay. Awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, what the hell is her name? Kate Blanchett's character. She's freaking awesome in the movie. I love her in this movie.
I'll have to wait.
What I'm trying to say is a lot of stuff without giving out anything away. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm not going to try and tell too much about what happened in the movie because the movie is still in the theaters and stuff. I actually did go watch it at 3D in the theater and everything always like that.
And let me ask you, was it worth 3D?
No.
I think so.
I only went because that just happened to be playing at the right time that I was going.
But you probably wanted to see Smaug in 3D.
And the other part about Smaug, really? That's all? That's it? That's all you put him in the movie for?
See, this is what I've heard, and I've tried to avoid as much of those as I could, but yeah, I mean, the whole purpose that left you hanging to want to see the next one was how they ended the second one. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that was a... Yeah, I understand why they did it that way, and yeah, I understand that Smaug, you really can't make the story about Smaug. It's not. It never was about Smaug. It was about the journey to what he represented and the journey from what he represented. Smaug just happens to be that pivot point that says, okay, now that you've gotten here, now you have to go a different direction on your quest. It's a different thing. Smaug actually just represents the whole pursuit up to and executing of greed. And then, A, what is the consequence of achieving it?
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know? So, Smaug, as a character, without that one little teensy-weensy-weensy little weakness flaw that he possessed that was clearly shown in the second movie and completely exploited in the third movie, would have been too powerful. So if Smaug was on any side in the battle of the five armies, they would all of the everybody else would have been decimated.
Right.
So yeah. They had to wrap him up out of it before getting into the bigger story of the actual armies. One of the things that bugged me about the five armies is, like, what the hell? The human army, there's like 600 people. And they're mostly old women and children. What the hell? They're like the survivors of Rivertown or whatever, right? By the way, I am expecting people know the story before I talk about stuff in this movie. Okay? Like, seriously. One of the coolest scenes, though, is the elf king guy riding in on a moose.
I did see that in the preview.
That's like, what? That's awesome.
That was in the previews. That was pretty
cool. I know. It's on the trailer. There's like a couple of scenes where he's like with the moose and it's like, okay, they need a battle moose. That's it. We need more battle mooses. And the dwarves, there are a lot more dwarves that show up in the movie. They're freaking cool. They have this one military maneuver that's like, oh my god, that is freaking awesome. I love what they did with that. You know, there's it's something to do with the shields. It's just like I could totally buy into that. That's cool, but it's just it felt uneven, like the whole movie. They felt like they threw in all these other things that just didn't really seem to connect with the original Hobbit movie. So the original Hobbit movie, the first one, was like, seven guys, nine guys, 13 guys, 14 guys, all going off on a quest. Oh, we got problems. And then it's this big whole scene of, what the hell? Where did all these guys come from?
Right.
Right? And I know I said there was a couple of scenes that disappointed me, and this just... It was one of those things.
Obviously, you're going to get it because you want it to either, you know, complete the collection. But do you think if they create the extras on that, it's going to be worth it?
Well, I've been told somebody who says he knows a little bit more about it is that the extended edition will have completer bits that make it up a bit. But I'm thinking, having seen this movie, it's like, yeah, besides adding more cool factor in different angles and views and things, I mean, I loved how they had the Orc Army, and I loved some of the other things that were part of the Orc Army, but it just really felt like more of a letdown. I mean, you had that big ending scene in the Lord of the Rings movie where you have huge armies all over the place, and there's fighting and going on and everything else like that. It's like... And that worked because it's a panoramic view that's just huge. In the Hobbit 3 movie, you got this really huge army scene, and okay, you really don't know who's doing what. It's just moving too fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've just seen nothing but bad reviews on it, so...
Well, visually, it's a fun movie. And yes, Jack, there was a human army, because... Think about it. What were the five armies in the movie? Think about it. We had to have this discussion with my group of friends after we watched the movie. It was like, yes, what were the five armies? Oh, no. What were the five armies? Elves?
So do tell. You asked the question, so people are filled in, and in case they go watch it this weekend. What are the five armies?
Elves, mm-hmm. Army 1. Dwarves, Army 2. Orcs, Army 3. Humans, Army 4. Animals, Army 5.
Wait, which animals?
Well, I kind of give it away if I tell you.
I don't care. Just call it spoiler alert. I'm trying to figure out which
animals. Spoiler alert! Put your heads over your ears if you don't want to hear this part.
Yeah.
The Red Eagles and the Weirbear.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. That's right.
So they were like the fifth army. This is how I reckon it, and this is how I looked at it when I was watching the movie. So you could break it down by saying, oh, the Orcs actually had two armies because one was over there and one was over there. You could say that the Dwarves had two armies. Oh, they have like 13 guys in the mountain, and then the other army that comes and shows up. Ooh, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. This is the way I break down the five armies on that.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically speaking, the movie, the third movie was, I think, cash grab. It really should have just been two movies. Everything should have been capped in, the first movie should have been a little longer, the second movie should have been a little longer, ending at different points, and then that's all it would do, but it would have been the two movies. The third movie goes into way too much exposition about why does Dude Face do this, and why does Dude Face do that, and it's like, hey, look at all this stuff, and Dude Face and does that, and they still don't have Bard in there strongly enough as he was in the actual book. I mean, Bard is in for the half the whole book, and in the movies he's in like for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes at most.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Seriously, I always thought The Hobbit was just not as great as a story as Lord of the Rings.
It wasn't supposed to be. The Hobbit was supposed to be a simple, small, fun story. It was written for his niece, written for as a not really an involved kind of complicated big story. Lord of the Rings as a story was involved and was intended to be a huge story. It was not meant to be some kind of little, hey, look, you can read it as a comic book, blah, 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 blah. Hobbit was. Hobbit was written to be a very non-complicated story. It wasn't meant to be too difficult to follow.
But see, I think one of their things, and they were desperate to do, was by adding all the characters that, in a sense, what it looks like by what I saw in the trailers, especially with this last one, is they were trying desperately to make it look like it ties in with Lord of the Rings.
Oh, they so totally did that.
Yeah.
They don't even make it look like doing that. They flat out do that in a couple of scenes.
Golly.
Now, somebody else had mentioned in a discussion we were having was, hey, did you see the fight scene where they did that? It's like, yes, they cut off the guy's head. Did you see the fight scene where they did that? Yes, they cut the guy's head off. And how much blood did you see? Not a drop.
This is true.
Because no splatter in this movie.
They did show it in Lord of the Rings, and now that I'm thinking about these Hobbit movies, I don't recall seeing any of it in any of the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like most of the blood and guts, you don't see any blood and guts. You just see, oh, splatter, cut off an arm, cut off a leg, cut off a head here and there. And there's one scene where they actually have, oh, look, blood flow.
Yeah, that was the dog scene. Oh, wait, you're talking in
the
third
movie? The Hobbit's 3.
Yeah, okay.
But you don't actually see the blood flowing from the guy. You see the puddle of blood coming in. And I believe that part of that is about keeping its PG-13 rating, because blood splatter, blood spray puts it past to a restricted or an adult accompaniment rating.
Well, if it goes too high, I mean...
No, it's just pure... If there's blood splatter or blood flow, it puts it to an adult accompaniment automatically sort of thing.
No, because... God, what was the movie I just watched? That
Kill Bill, they black and white it. So that it keeps a lower rating. The movie Kill Bill, remember that one?
Yeah.
The crazy 88 scene where they're all cutting everybody up in half, chew, 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 cutting.
Yeah.
That scene was all blood splatter.
Right.
But they went and made the entire scene all, what the hell do you call it, colored bled out so that there's no actual blood color. In order to keep the rating down. They were going to make it all blood splatter, but they said, oh, well, if we do this, it's going to change your rating up too high. It's like, okay, fine, do the whole special effect thing and make it look artsy.
Right.
So you know what I mean?
Yep.
So blood splatter does change the rating. I don't know how greatly it does. Maybe there's a percentage of how much blood splatter you have to have in or whatever, and frequency and... distance and stuff, but...
I want to say, because when we were talking about my movie, with the people I've talked with, you know, I said we could go... Well, they asked me PG or, rated R, and I was like, well, probably want to go rated R, because, you know, of what we want to do, but they told us that there's a percentage of blood splatter that you can't have. I mean, it goes up to a certain percent before they move it up.
Okay. So,
but, you know, I mean, it's obvious, though, because you've seen even TV movies. TV movies are technically already rated, I think, the highest rating you can get on a TV movie, and I'm talking like ABC, NBC, Fox, all those.
But you're talking primetime or...
Yeah. But they already are set up to a PG setting. Do you ever notice that majority of the TV movies you ever watch, well, up to one point, because now they're changing that, but it used to look like the people are just really bad shots?
Yes, bad shots, and even when they shoot you, oh, hey, you're wearing dark clothes so you don't see the blood.
Exactly, and this is so they...
Oh, no, totally, in the same vein, that's what I'm saying, is that, okay, so you can cut somebody's head off, but there's no blood splatter.
Right. Now, here's a good TV series that I've been playing catch up on right now. Well, I don't know if they still air it, but Nikita.
So the new series, not the old series.
Yeah, the one with Maggie Q.
Yeah, not the one with Peta Wilson.
No, I'm watching the Maggie Q one.
Okay. I haven't seen it. I have season one, but I haven't seen it yet.
I don't even know. Well, I just finished season one, and I was... got to the season finale of season one, I was like, what?
Okay, well, here's a little tidbit. My boss at work,
uh-huh.
One of the episodes is filmed at his house.
Really?
Yes. Not in season one, it's in season two or three.
Yeah, I'm if it's that really nice house that the computer guy's in season two,
well, nice. I
just got to say it's a really nice house.
Don't know. Does he have a piano in it?
There's a couple that had a piano in it. Now you can make me go back and look at them.
Nah, not really. So yeah, blood flow. But yeah, no, Hobbit's 3 movie, I was kind of disappointed. It was okay. I mean, it was an enjoyable watch. I mean, I didn't mind blowing my money to watch the movie. It's like, hey, look, it's a New Year's. Because I went on New Year's Day. Because that's kind of my tradition now.
Well, best part is everybody's hungover, so they're not really going to watch movies.
I was surprised the movie theater was packed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And this generally is the case up here in Toronto, is the movie theaters do generally fill up on New Year's Day because people they take the day off and they just don't do anything, which I understand.
Yeah.
But I always like to go for one of the earliest showings possible because I like to be in there before everybody gets in there because I like to pick up my seat. Now, so I was at assigned seating, so it's like, I want that spot right there. Why? Because it's the best spot in the house. It's underneath the camera.
Yep, nothing wrong with that spot. That's the great spot.
It's like, I don't care what's going on. I can see the whole screen without changing my head all over the place. That's why I like that spot. Holy crap!
Yep.
Look at that time.
I know.
Well, gang, I just wanted to say thanks for listening to me yabber, 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 you're on. And I'm glad to see you coming back again for another whole freaking year of It's After Rot. I want you to buy my book. I want you to go onto the Facebook. I want you to stick your head out and yell, we're mad as hell and it's cold as hell out there.
Hey, I didn't even promote my book.
I know that, but this is my show.
I know. But I'm just saying.
You have a book?
Yeah, I actually got a 99-cent book out right now for everyone to get off of Amazon for their Kindle. 99 cents.
Do you have a title for this book?
I do. It's called Crime Scene Confidential. This one is called Slasher. The next one coming up, I don't know if you saw the cover, is going to be called Floaters.
I did.
Which I'm excited about.
I also want everybody to go on to the Predators and Editors Critters poll and vote for me as poet. Vote.
And vote for I Smell Sheep, who is actually picking our books every month, too.
And the sheep people. Yeah, vote for them, too.
Yeah, because I just voted for them. I didn't see you on there. I'm going to go back and do it.
I'm in the poets category, dude.
I will go back and vote for you.
And vote for the anthology I'm in there, Poets in Hell, as well.
Huh. Well, now I definitely know I need to go back because I miss them, too.
Exactly. You must go back. You must submit to the zombie apocalypse, or there will be consequences! So, everybody, thanks for coming out to the show again. Glad to see you still all alive and kicking and doing well. Go on to the Facebook. Follow us there. Follow the Zombie Zach. Follow the After Rot. Follow the TMV Cafe. And let's just have a great 2015 and be ready for when I take over the world. Thanks for joining me, EWA, once again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.